Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Stephen Rose. I rent an apartment on Spear Street in East Charlotte, just up the street from the house where I lived from age 5 to age 19, when I set off in search of bigger adventures. 3 years later, I landed in Hawaii, visiting a friend. Taking a look around, I said to myself, "This looks pretty good," and somehow stayed for the next 34 years. On the 4th of September, 2011, at 4:15 in the morning, I was in Shelburne at my 84-year-old father's bedside as he died of congestive heart failure. I returned to Hawaii, took stock of my life, and decided to come home. 10 months later, at age 56, I arrived with my tools, a few thousand dollars, and a broken heart. I grew up in this church. I left it in 1975 as a teenager with a typical teenager attitude running along the lines of, "This God thing they are talking about makes no sense. And besides, these people are kind of mean to each other." Upon my return 5 years ago, I started to attend on Sundays to be with my widowed mother and to be in some familiar surroundings. I had no intention of making this church my spiritual home. The Reverend Will Burhans really messed that up. I found myself becoming increasingly interested in what he had to say. And no less essential, I was welcomed by you with open hearts and open minds. 3 years ago, I made the commitment to join the choir from a sense of nostalgia for my choral experience with Audrey Moore at CVU and some experiences in musical theater. Julia nurtured my very rusty pipes back into some shape. Meanwhile, Will brought Mark Kudelowski to teach centering prayer, which I took to, and a group of us went on a weekend silent retreat on Grand Isle during Lent. Will left, Arnold came. I joined his writing Your Personal Credo group, summoned my courage, wrestled out what I really believe, and was shocked to be accepted. Last year, I was put on the search committee and have thus far survived that. In March of this year, I was elected deacon. That next month, April, I was thrown into the breach as lead deacon, organizing some of the supporting cast for Susan through the big events of Holy Week, and I absolutely loved it. I also want to acknowledge who you are. There is probably a 70, if not an 80-year age range here. A few of you may have been in this room 2,500 times. Someone may be here for the first time. Others a handful or dozens or hundreds of times. I hope each of you leaves today with something you were looking for when you arrived this morning, whatever that is. So, to the subject at hand, I have about 10 minutes to persuade you that I have something to say about it that is worth listening to. Jesus says the first commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." True confessions, there's no way I'm going to tackle this one, it's too big. But we come to the second part. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This one I'll take a stab at. What does this mean? How can we do it? Let's prepare by practicing some mindfulness. Where was your mind a moment ago? Try and take note of which time zone you were in, meaning, was it memory, so in the past? Was it imagining, so in the future? Or was it something about what is happening now, so in the present? And for the moment, no matter which it was, past, present, or future, whatever you were thinking, say to yourself, okay, that's fine, no problem. And now also check your breathing. And notice that as soon as I mentioned it, your attention immediately went there. Just take a moment to describe to yourself with a word or two your breathing, such as slow and easy, or quick, or maybe at that moment you are holding your breath. No matter, just check in now and say the same thing to yourself. Okay, that's fine, no problem. Now I'm going to introduce a change. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you all to do something. It is simple, quite safe, and will take a few seconds of your time. And begin noticing how you are reacting to this news. Are you curious? Annoyed? Anxious? Amused? Just take a second to check in with yourself. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about it? Now, same thing. Okay, that's fine, no problem. Why are we here this morning? What has drawn us to the Charlotte Congregational Church at 9:30 a.m. on June 18th, 2017? There are likely as many reasons as there are people in this room right now. We are all unique versions of a human being. But if we drill down through this variety, I think we will find a single motivation. I believe our motivation for being here is very simply a desire for connection, to feel connected, a deeper sense of belonging. Now, some of you are undoubtedly starting to disagree with me about that right now. That's too simple. I come from my own reasons. I'm here because I'm hurting. Whatever. Please take note of that and say once again, okay, that's fine. No problem. Acknowledging that some of you are disagreeing with me right now, I'll continue along this path. Some of us want to connect more outwardly with the people. Some want to connect more inwardly to something larger than ourselves. I believe we all want both, though we have preferences for one over the other. For those of us who are wanting that inward connection, the leadership does its best to create a safe space to relax and rest, breathe easy for this hour, in a room full of people who are more or less of like mind to talk about and sing to God. And for those of us who want to connect more outwardly, well, here we are. This is who we have to work with right now. Here is our chance to practice loving our neighbor as ourselves every single time we walk in here. And this arena is where we're going to practice in just a few minutes. So, to the gist of my idea for practicing loving your neighbor, one of the ways we avoid connecting is to stay in our habitual behavior. Greeting the same folks, lovely as they are, avoiding an unfamiliar face, making the decision to pass on the perils of coffee hour. And specifically, for our purposes this morning, sitting in the same place in church Sunday after Sunday. True, some don't, but many of us do. One of the bigger items in the poll of the congregation during the home visits that Arnold and Susan did last spring was that the service suffers from sameness, and some lively up activities would be appreciated. I'm here to say, let's start that lively up activity with ourselves, with our own behavior. We come here so often, and we sit in these very orderly pews, all facing in the same direction, looking up here expectantly. We stand up, we sit down. We stand up, we sit down. We pray a little, we sing a little, we listen to the choir, we hope the liturgist speaks up. We wonder if Susan will transport us again with her storytelling. There is a true comfort in this. So, it's time. I said I was going to ask you to do something, and here it comes. And please, if any of you don't want to, that is just fine. You and I and all of us can just say, okay, that's fine, no problem. So I'm asking all of you, if you are able, to please stand. Very good, thank you. Here's my prop. And now, in the next 90 seconds, and yes, I'm going to say this, find a new place to sit. One more minute. Forty-5 seconds. Thirty seconds. Fifteen more seconds. Okay. Thank you very much. You're all being really good sports about this. You could have all just sat there and looked at me. And then what would I have done? So now, let's take a few seconds to get acquainted with our new surroundings. Everything looks and sounds a bit different from your new vantage point, yes? You mostly have new companions near you, new neighbors. And once again, check in with yourself. Are you amused? Grumpy? A little afraid? Maybe some unexpected joy. Just notice. And once again, say to yourself, okay, that's fine, no problem. While we are getting used to our new circumstances, I would like to address the as yourself part of Jesus' directive. I can't really put it into historical perspective because I don't have that knowledge. But just looking at the phrase as it's written in English, as yourself. Yourself is always written as one word. What if we tweak it a bit and write it as two words? Your and then self. And then we put a capital S on self. Love your neighbor as yourself. For anyone who is not familiar with the term, self with a capital S represents the idea that within each of us is a spark of the Creator, which is pure, unconditional love. Never ending, without limit, effulgent, generative, wise, always available, and unfailing. There is absolutely, positively nothing we can do or say to make it go away. That is the promise made real by the passion we remember each year at the end of Holy Week. Love your neighbor as yourself. I would like to give you an example of how this loving your neighbor thing is not done well, though it has a happy ending. I will change the names to protect the innocent. Some of you know I broke up with my partner last fall, and for those who don't know her, I'll name her Patrice. Patrice and I were friends with a couple that I will name Cheryl and Brent. Patrice and Cheryl's friendship has been suffering from our breakup, as you can imagine it might. It's a hard issue to handle when one is friends with both members of a dissolving couple. Cheryl and Brent and I were sitting in their living room a week ago. I was telling of some recent exchanges with Patrice that had brought up some painful feelings. And Cheryl mentioned that she had experienced some also. I offered a few more details, and then Cheryl said, "If I were you, I wouldn't contact Patrice anymore." To which I replied, "Oh, so gracefully. It's none of your business what I do with Patrice." Not my best moment. There were a few beats of a very loud silence, and Cheryl said, "My feelings are hurt," stood up, and beat it for the upstairs. I said to Brent, "Was I too direct?" He just looked at me. After a few minutes, Brent and I heard the washing machine start upstairs, and he went up to check things out. He returned pretty quickly with a message that maybe tonight wasn't a good night to stay for pizza. Stunned, I made my next brilliant utterance. "Really? Really? Grow up!" Brent, bless his heart, is a thoroughly nonviolent man and refrained from whacking me. I quickly finished packing up as I had been doing some work during the day and headed for Staples to exchange some printer cartridges. I got to the counter and reached for my wallet and... yeah, you're right. I had left it on the shelf at Cheryl and Brent's. I sent the text and at the end said, "I'm sorry I hurt your feelings." When I arrived back there, Brent was standing in the drive, waving my wallet, and very gently transmitted the message that she just needs some space and time. I slunk away, meanwhile receiving a text from Cheryl, also apologizing. The next day, I gave Brent a ride home from a morning meeting. We arrived to find the garage door open and Cheryl calling out, "Would you like to come in?" We sat at the table and shared a mango she had cut. A bit of small talk, and Brent said, "Shall we get to why we are here?" In this condensed version of our exchange, Cheryl said, "In that moment, you reminded me of my ex-husband." And I replied, "And you reminded me of my mother." And that was it. The author, Anne Lamott, in her TED Talk, "The 12 Things I Know," written as she turned 61, says, "Earth is a forgiveness school." Maria Popova, in her blog, Brain Pickings, quotes the Harvard psychologist Daniel Gilbert, "Human beings are works in progress that mistakenly think they're finished." These two statements dovetail. I would posit that the forgiveness begins in the most entangled and difficult place, forgiving ourselves. We are works in progress, but we forget that. We want our work to be done, and we want our fellow travelers to have finished their work too. I would invite you, when you enter these doors next time, and then the time after that, and then the time after that, to entertain the idea that you can place your work of progress here next to any other work in progress here in love and joy and safety, and together we can make a joyful noise to the Lord both inwardly and outwardly. Amen.